Good morning. Welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church.
Thank you for joining us today. God's blessings on your worship.
Good evening, everyone.
Evening.
Welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church as we celebrate the first of our Lenten midweek series. This one is entitled, the series is entitled, The Hand of the Lord. I'm Pastor Joe Nearing from Faith Lutheran Church in Mount Vernon, Illinois, and I'll be leading worship this evening and preaching. So, God's blessings on your worship. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O Lord, open my lips.
And my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We continue with our psalm. The Lord is my strength and my song.
He has become my salvation.
Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous.
The right hand of the Lord has helped me.
The right hand of the Lord exalts.
The right hand of the Lord has helped me.
I shall not die, but I shall live. The Lord has disciplined me severely.
And he has not given me over to death. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
We continue with our hymn of response, number 791, All People That on Earth Do Dwell.
Father of all mercy and God of all comfort,
Your right hand raises the dead and gives eternal life to those who
belong to you. Grant that we may rejoice in your gracious presence, but now and into eternity. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated. The Old Testament reading is written in 1 Kings chapter 17. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel, that I may drink." And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." And she says, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, and only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and for my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said. But first, make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterwards, make something for yourself and for your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty, until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth." And she went and did as Elijah said. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. After this, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became ill. And the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became ill. And his illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. And she said to Elijah, "What have you against me, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son." And he said to her, "Give me your son." And he took him from her arms and laid him on his own bed. And he cried to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, you have brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I sojourn by killing her son." Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, let this child's life come into him again." And the Lord listened to the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper chamber into the house and delivered him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." This is the word of the Lord.
Let it shine.
Our epistle reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then even Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man also has come the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says, all things are put into subjection, it is plain that he is expected who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who has put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand. Our gospel reading is written in Luke chapter 7. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. And as he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and had a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bearer stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, a great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people. And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated for our sermon hymn number 601, All Who Believe and Are Baptized.
His name. Amen. Our Lenten series focuses on hands. We've looked at our hands, their marvelous engineering, and how God fills our hands with the good gifts that he gives to us. We've talked about not letting your right hand know what your left hand's doing. This Lent, we're focused on Jesus' hands. Jesus' human hands touch people and change lives. The hand of the Lord creates and saves. The hand of the Lord casts out demons. The hand of the Lord heals the sick. The hand of the Lord holds all things. And this sermon, the hand of the Lord raises the dead. With COVID, we became much more sensitive about washing our hands to prevent the spread of disease. We've moved from rolled cotton towels, the kind you have to pull down. You have to be my age or older probably to understand that reference. To paper towels, to air dryers, prompting concerns that the air dryers are blowing germs into the air. But sadly, we often recontaminate our hands by grabbing the door handle. We also know the value of a human touch. I have a now-sainted friend whose brother had died. She was Mrs. Fay, and I was Mr. Nearing. I could sense her loss. It just seemed like a hug would really help. So I asked her, would a hug help? And she said it would. We were still Mrs. Fay and Mr. Nearing, but now we hugged every Sunday the rest of her life. We have an encounter in our reading for today. There are two processions, two groups of people. On the one hand, the Lord is headed towards the town of Nain, followed by a great crowd. The fame of Jesus has spread. He has taught with authority. He has healed people of their diseases. His mighty hand has cast out demons by his own authority. People are naturally attracted to him and follow him. Great crowds are all wanting to hear and see him at work. They are all wanting to touch Jesus and be healed. All this buzz and excitement around Jesus is a procession of life. Coming out of Nain is a different sort of procession. The people are weeping, wailing, and mourning. This procession is led by the hand of death, which touched a young man who is now being carried to be buried. A widow has lost her only son, like the woman in the Old Testament reading this evening. In those days, she would have likely had no other option but the life of a beggar with outstretched, empty hands just to stay alive. She is now completely on her own to live in her sorrow, overshadowed by the hand of death that touched her life by taking her husband and then her son. What will happen when the procession led by the hand of life meets the procession led by the hand of death? What happens when life and death touch each other? We know too well what happens in this world. We've seen it time and time again. We know from experience that when life touches death, death snatches life away. It does not matter how old or how young, when death touches life, it always seems to get the upper hand. For those of us who are still living, the touch of death can have a long-lasting impact. Death was first brought into this world through the grasping hands of Adam and Eve. We have all wrought death by the work of our hands, earning the wages of our sins. And death has had a grasp on us ever since. But now all of that is going to come to an end, is coming to a head. The Lord of life, followed by his entourage, is coming to meet death in its band. As they approach, Jesus has compassion, a gut-wrenching compassion. Jesus is not indifferent to how death touches his people. He sees this sorrow as they carry this young man upon the bier and has deep, gut-wrenching compassion. Without the concern of becoming unclean by touching a dead body, Jesus touches the bier and the bearers stop. The procession of death stops dead in its tracks. He says, "Do not weep." And, "Young man, I say to you, arise." He sits up, alive and speaking. The people saw that Jesus had power, prophetic power. Like Elijah and Elisha before him, Jesus raises a woman's only son and gives him back to his mother. But Jesus is even more than a prophet. Elisha and Elijah relied on the hand of the Lord to act. Jesus acts of his own authority and power. Jesus is the hand of the Lord. When the hand of Jesus touches death, he gives life. When Jesus touches this procession of death, he transforms it into a procession of life. There are so many more examples of the Lord bringing life out of death, the kinds of things that only God can do. The Lord raised Jairus' daughter. He took her by the hand and she stood up. When Jesus touches death, Jesus brings life. And there is more with Elisha. After he died and was buried in 2 Kings 13, the Moabites came into the land. And as another man was being buried, he was thrown into the grave of Elisha. And as soon as that man touched the bones of Elisha, he stood up alive. God even turned touching the bones of the prophet Elisha into something that was life-giving. All the raising of the dead that happened in the Old Testament was a foreshadowing of what Jesus brought. Jesus raised the widow's son, Jairus' daughter, and Lazarus. Those examples were simply a foreshadowing about what he was about to bring out by his own death. All the people that were raised from the dead prior to Jesus' own death died again. But Jesus, as we know, is more than a prophet. Jesus, the Son of God, took on our human flesh, fully God and fully man. So what happened when Jesus touches death in his own body on the cross? He was led on a procession of death, forced to carry the rough-hewn instrument of his death, taking the just penalty for our sin, even though he himself did not sin. He willingly came into contact with death firsthand. He died and was buried. But when Jesus touches death, he brings life. He rose from the dead, never to die again. He defeated death once and for all. Jesus broke death's grip on our lives. If God can use Elisha's dead bones to bring life, how much more does Jesus' resurrected body give us life? If we go to the grave with him in his death, it means eternal life because he lives today. That is just what your baptism brought to you. For if we have been united with him like with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. When Christ touches you through his word and sacrament, death is stopped in its tracks. Your sins are forgiven, and now death does not have the final hold over you. Even though we still suffer the effects of our sin in this life, which bring about death, we are now part of the living because we are united to Jesus. So when Christ returns, our bodies will be raised on the last day. For when Jesus' life touched death, death is stopped in its tracks and life proceeds. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Please stand as we sing the Magnificat number 933. Please be seated. We worship God with our offering. Please stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, you sent Jesus with a compassionate hand to stop death in its tracks. Bless us that we may ever hold fast to his promises for us and through his death and resurrection. Help us to always remember our baptism, where we have been united to both Christ's death and resurrection. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, your mercies are new to us every morning, and though we deserve only punishment, you receive us as your children to provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty Father, we lift up those who are in need of our prayers, especially those in care facilities, Thretta, Beulah, Janice, Jim, Charles, and Betty. For those with ongoing health issues, Thomas, Richard, Bob, Kurt, Don, Marvin, Amy, Francie, Eileen, Jenna, Christy, Brent, Jackie, Nancy, Henry, Nancy, Elaine, Robert, Laverne, and all cancer patients. For those who are hospitalized, especially Ronnie, for Esther as she faces upcoming surgery. And Lord, we also lift up those who are serving in our nation's armed forces, especially Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Alex, Isaac, Patty, Austin, Wade, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, and Mark. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty and everlasting God, you despise nothing that you have made and forgive all the sins of those who are penitent. Create in us new and contrite hearts, that lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, we may receive from you full pardon and forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy. We continue with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Let us bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Please be seated for our closing hymn, number 422, On My Heart, and Print Your Image. Welcome again, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity and privilege of leading worship and preaching tonight. God's blessings on the rest of your week.
Thank you for joining us.
We hope to see you again next week.